Now on today's program, Listener Request Month continues with another entry in the fabled franchise. This is Highlander 3. I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sexine.
Chris Cabin.
Eric Siska. I wish I was a sex scene.
And we hate movies. Welcome to We Hate Movies. Thank you for tuning into the program. As always, like I said at the top of the show, Listener Request Month continues. We're talking Highlander 3, a.k.a. Highlander The Final Dimension, a.k.a. Highlander 3 The Sorcerer, a.k.a. Highlander 3 Andrew's Taking a Nap. Now, this was requested by an anonymous caller. I feel like I'm Robert Stack here.
This was requested by an anonymous call. Let's have a listen.
Hey, gents. Pull out your old Christopher Lambert punch card. My recommendation for Listener Request Month is Highlander 3, The Sorcerer, or maybe The Final Dimension, or whatever. Thanks a lot.
All right, Creep, Highlander 3.
I think that was a ghost.
It was a ghost from beyond the grave.
Ghost call, man. You know, the ghosts get trapped in telephones. It's a big problem.
It's all the time.
Oh, yeah. You remember the prank calls you used to get in the 90s?
Yeah.
Ghosts.
You should do Highlander 3. This is Connor Russell. You know, forget it. Just do Highlander 3. I think I got them.
So this is the movie that retcons out Highlander 2, The Quickening.
Thank God.
It's right in the beginning, yeah, too.
Just, hey, by the way, the second movie never happened. So put away your The Quickening t-shirts.
Well, does he fill in your punch card? I need to get the white out.
That one doesn't count. That movie's not real. You imagined it. It was a fever dream.
Who said that was an alien? Where did you get that crazy idea?
What a stupid idea.
Oh, you mean that 2 weeks I spent in New York? Oh, God. Horrible.
Well, this movie is like, this franchise is the Russian doll of franchises because each one replaces the other one, essentially. Like, it's like, no, that was real. Oh, that was fake. No, that was real.
And then I think after this, though, it's like, all right, yeah, let's just let it happen. Because there's two movies after this. There's a TV show that is referenced in this movie, kind of.
Okay.
And then there's a cartoon, which who knows if that's even canon. I couldn't even begin to tell you.
The beauty of the Highlander franchise in general, it seems there is no canon at all.
Sure.
It just changes.
Like, except for the canon that blows your fucking mind every time I'm in the Highlander movie.
That's very true. I got to say, at the top, I kind of love this movie. I kind of love it.
Yeah, I got to agree with you. I never saw this before. I'm not even the world's biggest Highlander fan. I like this a lot. It's stupid as sin, but it's kind of a lot of fun for me.
You know what this is to me? It's a fight scene that keeps on getting interrupted.
Yeah, you're totally right.
Garbage.
Yeah, pure garbage.
With fucking Enya ripoff sounding
music. Oh my
music,
lord, that shit.
That's laid over training montages.
Sail away.
Well, the weird thing is the writers and the director know what scenes should be in this movie, but they don't know why they should be in the movie, and they don't know how to do them.
They're just where they should be in the line.
Exactly. It's just a big whiteboard like, oh, Mary Van Peebles needs to intimidate the love interest. Why? How? I don't know.
Where's he from? China? Fine.
Yeah, I think Mario Van Peebles might be playing Mongolian in this movie.
Possibly.
I think so, yeah.
That's something. It's not as bad as John Wayne.
Well, here's the thing, what we need to do. Oh yeah, John Wayne was probably my favorite Mongolian. You got to trace back what ancient culture, right, Chris? You got to trace it back.
Sure.
Which one did nipple piercing back in the fucking like 1600s or whenever the hell? Mm-hmm. And that's your Mario Van Peebles.
I do believe that was a Mongolian a tradition.
Oh, right.
Is getting your nipples pierced.
And he's got his nose piercing.
He does.
Yeah, he's got a little septum piercing going
on.
Yeah, them teats are pierced.
They work heavily on their English.
Yes. And they sharpen their teeth and they eat squids every day,
he's got
I guess.
Probably a Prince Albert. And,
oh, yeah. You
don't get visual confirmation, which is surprising for Highlander 3, what with everything else we see in this movie. But yeah, that dude's dick is definitely pierced. Without question, he's got a pierced
penis.
He
asked for the full job.
Yeah, totally.
Top to bottom.
Yep. So bifurcate that shit.
Oh.
So this movie, it both picks up where the first one left off and then also does not.
Well, it starts in the middle of the first movie, really, right? Because, like, Ramirez dies. He gets killed by, what's his face there? The late great...
Cragen? Yeah. Clancy Brown.
Captain Cragen?
Isn't it Cragen?
No, it's something guttural.
There could be
that.
Only one. Go to bed. All right, Olivia. I'm a Highlander.
You and Elliot might think that you can live forever, but it's actually me. Highlander Captain Cragen. Go to sleep. What is that, a monkey?
Remember that episode where Captain Kraken's carrying that monkey?
Always has the fucking monkey.
He's always got... Yeah, if you made a Captain Kraken action figure, it would definitely... It would come with a Highlander sword and a monkey.
How am I supposed to forget it?
Yeah.
Please. Like, it happens once if you, like, go on with your business. No.
That episode is such bullshit, though, because the second wild animals are involved, guess what? SVU's off the case.
That's 88% of it.
What was it then? The zoo police?
Yeah, dude. Zoo police.
Of course. Exactly.
Law and Order zoo police?
Yes. Oh. Dude, there's a missed opportunity to expand that franchise.
You figure out what Harambe is up? You know, you finally solve that mystery, you know?
Well, it would definitely move that, what was the episode where Big Boy got eaten by the gorilla? Or
that's
something.
The same one. That's
Is
same,
it the same yeah, one?
I believe
oh, okay.
so.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the episode. Listen, Law and Order, for all its zaniness, only dealt with wild animal abuse once.
I didn't trust it. I could see five or six of them.
But it starts with like this PSA. It's like a Gap jeans commercial. It's just Lambert's face. It's like,
yep.
Oh, hello there.
It's like he's doing one of the testimonials in When Harry Met Sally. And we've been married ever since. Me and my sword.
And you say it, I mean, you talked about the Enya thing. Like, the whole thing in the beginning looks like an Enya video. Like, there's, like, weird colors
it's
up in the air.
Two strangers living in the house. And things start getting real.
Hey, Ramirez, did you eat all my peanut butter? Hey, Ramirez.
Yes, I did. What are you going to do about it?
Get up, Highlander. We're late for our job at the surf shop.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The radio station awaits.
I was always
Ramirez in the morning.
Who was it? Was it Seattle that worked at the radio station?
Yeah.
Or was it Boston?
Oh, God.
One of them had
Who the fuck knows?
I think it was Boston.
One of them worked at a radio station, and I was really jealous.
Sure, of course.
Also, Chris, I mean, this movie's 93, I should say. Also, credit where credit's due, or 94, excuse me, directed by Andrew Morahan, who this dude has directed an impressive amount of music videos, including but not limited to Guns N' Roses' November Rain. You better fucking believe it.
Better movie. By the way,
yeah, you're
November
right.
Rain, the music video, is a better movie than Highlander 3.
I disagree.
Because the November Rain video's got a fucking motorcycle in it.
And also, Slash is a better actor than anybody here.
Guns N' Roses turned this down, by the way. Because they went up to them like Queen, you know, in the original, like, hey, you know, write us a song, give us a lot of cool music.
Yeah.
And they're like, nah.
Is that true?
Yeah, it's really.
Yeah, they turned him right down.
Because it's not Swords and Roses.
No.
Maybe it was Highlander with guns. Like, if you're trying to, like, cut someone's head off with a gun, you could do that. Sure.
So Lambert's like, look, I know you think I'm an alien, but really, I'm actually, in the long run, I'm more of an alien than I am Scottish, but no, I'm not an alien. This is what Ramirez is dead, right? It's like a long time ago, and I went to Japan for a while. It's like, what?
It starts servicing as like a prequel and sequel, or just like continuation of that first movie, because it's like, we're going to go back in time, but not all the way back in time.
Yes.
It's like what happened after Ramirez bites it and he just flees to Japan to meet with Mako, who's like, he's another, Highlander fella.
An immortal. The Highlander is just the
right.
Highlander.
He's an immortal, correct. What, yeah, I was wrong.
Have we ever figured out how Highlanding works insofar as your age? Like, when does your age stop? Because why is Mako 70?
And that's a good point.
Yeah,
Steve.
Good call. Yeah.
And like you know, obviously you're allowed to reach puberty.
He might just be like a really shitty looking 35-year-old.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Or wow, are there little kids one though? Like Kirsten Dunst in Interview with the Vampire?
I don't that know.
I'll cool. always look like this. You did this to me. There can be only one.
She starts kicking Brad Pitt's shins.
I think, I honestly, I know they're rebooting Highlander, which I think is a great idea.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Yes. Stop the podcast. Yeah. What's happening?
All right, turn it off. All right, now that the podcast is off, we can
hang
continue,
up on him.
We can continue our conversation. All right, now that nobody's listening, I could tell you
yeah.
that the fella behind John Wick is rebooting Highlander.
Yeah. Get out of town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So no, if it's a reboot, no Lambert involvement, huh?
Really
he'll probably
it.
Play some senators. Yeah. They'll give him his cake. They'll give him a little taste.
No, he'll take the Mako role.
He's passing anti-Highlander legislation.
Who knows where they're coming from? I need documentation.
I'm developing a drug that can reverse the immortal syndrome, and you will be mortal again. It's like X-Men, only cheaper.
Highlander is kind of that.
And now I am water jelly.
Oh, yes. So, yeah, he's like learning. He's a scrappy 50-year-old waif learning from a 70-year-old man. Like, it's very odd to watch a man this old have to, like, go through a training montage.
It's like fucking Rodney Dangerfield in Back to School.
Yeah. No, he's going to live forever, so it's fine.
Look at, like, this. He's unshaven. He looks like garbage at the beginning of this movie. Before we go back in time, and he has that fucking Beauty and the Beast hair. Looking like Ron Perlman in that show.
Well, I mean, and that was in a very, like, that opening where he's talking to the camera, that was in, like, a nice bed. Like, yeah. He seemed to be, like, when is this?
What's happening? Find time to film that testimonial? That's a great question.
It's like that Seinfeld 100 episodes where he's, like, Kramer is calling him. He's like, 1 second, Kramer. We've had a lot of fun on Seinfeld.
That's, you know what? That clip show didn't need a framing device.
One
Just
second,
show me
Kramer.
Clips.
Okay. We've had a lot of fun being Highlanders. Remember the time Ramirez died?
Previews, Connor. Previews. Schnell.
I would sadly watch that. I would watch a fucking Highlander clip show. God. Seinfeld, I'll change the channel.
Yeah, sure. So a Highlander clip show of like all the movies, or are we bringing in the TV show, which lasted way longer than it ever needed to?
You know what? I guess I would, you know, just to see what the TV show is, because I never watched it, I would sit through it. You know, because I don't want to sit through the TV show.
I mean,
give me the highlights.
Isn't it the framing device that's the issue? I mean, you would have to get Christopher Lambert
right
back for that, and maybe the guy from the TV series who plays,
what is it, Duncan MacLeod?
Yes,
Adrian Paul is the actor.
Yeah, Duncan MacLeod. So here's let me explain to you what the Highlander TV show is.
Please,
you remember Renegade?
Yes.
So it's like Renegade minus motorcycles, plus but also plus Duncan MacLeod and swords.
Immortality.
Yeah. And I mean, he's like Connor MacLeod's cousin or something.
Yeah, yeah, they're all part of the Clan MacLeod.
So,
man.
But like,
surprise relative.
Cousins. See, identical cousins who live forever.
But that's why none of this makes sense, because, you know, in the first movie, the idea is. Excuse me. He claims the prize, right?
Yes.
So now he can live a mortal life, and,
right?
You know, everything's going to be fine. And then in the sequel that eventually happens, in this sequel that eventually happens, where the fuck is Duncan MacLeod? Like,
exactly.
His head needs to be chopped off.
Yeah. Totally. Absolutely does. Well, it's the same bullshit in this movie where he's like, yeah, I totally won the prize because Mario Van Peebles and two other dudes were trapped in a cave.
Well, yeah.
I think you need like a better sign that you've won the prize. You know what I mean? Like, maybe your hair changes color.
Yeah.
Oh, Super Saiyan.
Or you get like a tattoo comes on your forearm.
Or you go
magically
blind and you just know everything now.
Well, here's my theory, my running theory.
About, oh, okay, yeah, Highlander fan theory updates.
It's not a big deal, but about quickenings.
Mm. Sure.
You pee a little bit, right? Like every time you...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're just going to pee a little.
That's all you think happens?
I believe
full
on our...
Full bowel release.
Yeah, I would say
yeah,
so.
On our last Highlander episode, I believe we also posited there was some coming involved.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And
I think most fluids in your body just go away.
I think you lose 21 grams.
Oh, that makes
sense.
Actually, shouldn't you gain it, though, because you're taking the other person's life force?
You gain 41 grams. I don't know. The math is iffy.
Well, you have to convert it to Scottish too. You got to do the you know, the metric system.
You know, triangulate it to that planet from the second one. And
so he's getting trained by Mako. Magic shows up. Now we're dealing with illusions, I guess.
The power of illusions,
which is not. We're not doing magic in the first Highlander movie, right?
No magic whatsoever.
It's just swords
aside
and immortality.
Aside from, you know, living forever.
And the quickening, yeah.
I mean, it's a cousin of it. You know what I mean? It's not that far of a leap to know that this
is. But it's not like we're not, you know, this is like all sorts of magic. Because you're like making people see shit. We're going through things. We're turning into things. We're turning other things into other things.
Yep.
In the first movie, it's
pretty
like
cool.
You do a quickening and you can live forever. That's the world of the magic. It's two things.
Yeah.
In this movie, it's like 10 things at least.
So Mako is like, he's learning all this stuff. He's like, oh, you're learning, my son, and all this nonsense. And he's like, you know, why don't you just cut my head off? Then you could learn all my stuff. Then you get the power of illusion.
Yeah, totally. Because when you cut someone's head off, you gain all their powers.
Yes. Sure.
But it's do you gain all their memories, though?
I don't think you become part of them.
Well, that's what I was like.
Hey, Highlander buddy, did I sleep with that girl, or was that that guy whose head I cut off last time?
Well, I would like to think that you could like determine like which was what, like decipher that shit.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, if he killed Mako, right, then it's like, oh man, Mako was totally watching me sleep in this cave for years.
Can I ask something of the group?
Yeah, please.
Always.
Did all of you, or just me, have to pee all the way through this because of the amount of water shots?
Man, when we're like massaging this waterfall,
it's everywhere. If you look through the movie again, it's like a scene.
It's a beautiful film.
Yeah. Before you see the training montage between Mako and Christopher Lambert, there is a solid minute of water footage.
Yep.
Splashing around, flowing here, flowing there. For what reason? I would never fucking know.
Did someone say splashing around? My little spicy Cheeto just got hard as a rock.
She wore a eeny beeny.
The reporting on the beheading of the Highlanders is fake, but the leaks are real. The leaks you get
leaks
when you
about the
quickening leaks are real.
So around this time where we're respecting the power of illusion and massaging waterfalls and
Mako is begging for his head to get cut off, which I do love.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, take a hint, Lambert. Let's fucking kill this guy.
I think it's supposed to be like an old, like one of the older ones.
It's like killing Yoda.
By the way, I would love to do that.
Cut his little head off.
But doesn't he not die? Or am I crazy?
Oh, Mako bites it hard, dude. Yeah,
but he's talking after the fucking thing. He's like,
magic. That's just Obi-Wan Kenobi bullshit. But the thing is, it's like,
if I saw Alec Guinness's fucking decapitated head speaking, pretty cool.
Yeah,
I
would love belly it. Was opened up and saying, remember the Force? What? he's...
Doesn't that happen in the Bridge Over River Kwai?
Once.
Another thing that doesn't really make much sense about the world of Highlanders is, like, Mako's born earlier. Connor McLeod, I think, is banished from his village in 1536.
Sure.
Nice.
Just a factoid we've got.
So I guess he was born around, like, 1500 or whatever. But, like, throughout history, you're battling other immortals
right,
to cut their heads off to gain the prize. But there's more being born throughout history.
Sure. So
you got to keep killing.
Right. Like, would you kill a baby in its crib?
You would have to if you want to win the prize, or like wait a little bit. I don't know.
Well, Kragan would definitely have done that.
Gonna kill a baby, and then everyone's gonna go to sleep. Me and my monkey have been working a long day.
I am now calling him Mr. Nuts.
I have been a detective for 600 years. Ice-T, please cut my head off.
Oh, Ice-T definitely might be a Highlander with that fucking ponytail.
If you do so, you can take my monkey.
See you later, Connor.
Man, Law and Order Immortals, like all detectives on Earth are immortal.
Yep.
That makes sense, dude. That's why Jeff Bridges in Hell and High Water talks like he's an 1800 sheriff. Yeah.
Well, I think he's one of the engineers from Prometheus.
So Mario Van Peebles shows up uninvited.
As Mario Van Peebles usually does.
With two other guys. His name is Kane because, of course, it is.
He would have to be. he's looking pretty cool. This, like, wig that they've got him in, man, this beautifully conditioned straight hair.
Beautiful. We're using that word here.
I'm not a big fan of the bangs, I'll be honest with you. Like,
it's pretty stupid.
The mohawk is cool, you know what I mean? Yeah. But, like, mohawk with a little bit of bangs there, it's a little...
Well, you know, it was a product of its time.
Sure.
But also, if you're an immortal, who gives a shit?
That's true.
Like, whatever the fuck.
This is what I
would be doing this shit in sweatpants.
Yes, you would.
I gotta cut off some motherfucker's head? Okay.
All right, we're not allowed to fight on hallowed ground. Really, Chris, sweatpants?
What?
I mean, like, I just, you know, man, just go home. Get some slack.
What, I need an outfit for killing this guy?
You're cheapening the whole thing here.
This is a centuries-old tradition.
You're stuck in the past.
Stop wiping your boots all over my heritage with your disgusting ketchup-stained sweatpants.
Do you see this slim-fit raincoat? I got this specifically for this fight.
Uh-huh. How much that cost you?
A lot of money.
Uh-huh. Listen, how much these sweatpants cost me? $5. American.
You're an immortal. Make money. Learn how to save your money. What's up? Take care of yourself, man.
Why do I have to? I'm an immortal. I don't got to fucking worry about nothing but swords across my neck.
Look, I despise Clancy Brown, and I did indeed take its head off. But at least he was well-dressed when I did it.
You're all elitists.
Well, man, Connor McLeod is looking fresh in this movie. I want, like, some of these shots, you know, him next to the water. It's like a lookbook. I want to look through this book and see all the, you know, the great styles.
Him with the long hair reminded me, or not reminded me, but I guess gave me the thought that, you know what, he could play, and it would be pretty convincing, a caveman. If Christopher Lambert played a caveman with that hair and that, like, forehead... He could do it.
I haven't seen the newest Coen Brothers movie where he's in it. What's that? Hail Caesar?
Oh, right. I forgot he's in it because that movie's totally forgettable.
Right, how's he
looking? Yeah, how's he looking in that movie? Was it?
I love that movie.
You love Hail Caesar.
I love Hail Caesar, yes.
It's fine. Christopher Lambert in that movie is fantastic.
He is great.
How's he looking? Like an old man?
He's okay.
He's like a trimmer, older dude, and he's wearing slacks.
Okay. I'll have you
know. He's directing Channing Tatum.
Right. He's playing like a, you know, like a European film director.
Yeah.
Don't just roll out of bed for a quickening, man. Like, take a shower. Go home.
Look.
Shave your neck. You can have a beard, but you got to shave your neck.
You know, sweatpants are for after a quickening.
Yes.
When you're fucking, like, your little fucking orifices are still, like, oozing from all the fucking, like, lightning that went up in there.
Why not just lay in the bathtub like a human being?
Lay in the bathtub.
And let it all ooze out.
No, that's what you do, and then you put the sweatpants on.
And then it drains.
Look, I'm not going to fight you in your bathroom.
Chris Cabin in a bathtub with a sword. Rah, rah, smack
it. Get out of here!
Oh, I'd love it.
So Mary Van Peebles shows up with two goons. I don't understand the idea of a Highlander gang, by the way. Well, we'll get into why that's a problem. But so, long story short, when
Mako's
first,
murdered.
Mako gets murdered. Lambert, like, hightails it out of there.
This is the most ridiculous. To me,
cowardly.
This is the most ridiculous. Okay. You know that another Highlander is coming.
Yeah, you can smell him a mile away.
He has sent you away to be saved, so you are not killed either. I would assume that Mako's going to get killed because he wants to die, of course. So why not take the power rather than give it to what will almost inevitably become your nemesis? Yes.
Yeah, that's a good call.
That's true. That's why I kill everyone I meet.
You don't take any chance?
No.
So Mako's decapitated. The quickening is pretty awesome.
A big deal quickening.
I will give this movie that much credit. The quickening effects are bar none. They spare no expense. They're fabulous. The quickening are the most luxurious quickenings you've ever seen in your life.
And they go on for 5 to 10 minutes.
I mean, these things really roll on, man. And so Mako's quickening, this orgasm is so earth-shattering that the cave collapses, trapping Kane and his two buddies inside while Lambert, like a coward, runs out of there.
And here's my question. If you're a Highlander, I say Highlander instead of immortal. It's just the nomenclature. But if three Highlanders in a room kill a fourth Highlander, Can you get some residual
quickening?
Well, they seem to be getting something.
Like residual quickening?
So two Highlanders are on a train traveling from San Francisco to Sacramento at 150 miles an hour.
Yes.
No, but no, I think it's you take the life, and then everybody else is just standing there.
Well, that's awkward.
One of the guys definitely is getting quickening.
Oh, he's getting a little bit?
Really? When he's getting
residual quickening?
Yeah, he's definitely getting one. He's like,
secondhand. Wait, you're saying there's secondhand quickening?
Yes.
Hey, man, put that out.
But also, like, okay, you're a Highlander. You know all the Highlander business.
Sure, yeah, you get the rule.
You're Christopher Lambert. You're walking out of here. You're just going to assume, even knowing that the only way to kill these things is the fucking head comes off. Yeah. You're just assuming the fucking fall did it.
Yeah.
No, well, true. Because
later he says, he's also like, I've killed them all.
In his defense, he's a young Highlander. He's a little naive Highlander.
Uh-huh.
And he's, you know, just trying to survive, Highlander.
Three movies in, I expect some mastery.
But this is the prequel moments, you know. So yeah.
That's right. He's only been a Highlander for like 300 years at this point.
Yes,
sure. So
flash forward to
Training Wheels,
1995-ish. It's a couple years after the movie. I guess
right.
The girl from the first movie is dead at this point,
killed in a car accident.
Oh, that's so sad.
Yeah.
Or she just didn't want the movie. One of the other.
Well, it's a thing where they say that her and Christopher Lambert were both in a car accident and she died and he didn't. And I guess the whole thing is like, well, why didn't he die if he thinks that he won the prize?
Yes.
Like, what's the deal?
He's
and I guess
it's know.
Like, he just assumes that, well, I lucked out and didn't die.
And he adopted a kid.
Right. John! John! It's my adopted son, John.
My son, John, in Marrakesh.
John! We're living in Marrakesh.
It's so ridiculous. The fact that there's this little kid character that's just there, you know, for...
kidnapping.
Yeah, sure. Exactly.
It's amazing, though. Like, he's got some buddies like, oh, I have to go on Highlander business because I think something's upset. And the guy's like, oh, well, what about your son? There's like, well, he's adopted. And the line, which I love so much, is like, does he know he's adopted? He's like, oh, he knew he was adopted before he could even spell it. Which is just like, are you telling this kid like every day? Like,
good luck at school, John. And by the way, remember, you're adopted.
You have to work it into a daily rhythm.
A is for adopted. B is for, like,
bastard.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, so I guess this kid's been looking over his shoulder his entire life because literally any other adult he meets could be his parent.
So
Christopher Lambert is really rubbing that in.
Deborah Kerr Unger shows up. She's a scientist. They're excavating a dig site that happens to be Mako's cave.
We're back in Japan, by the way.
Yeah, Mako's cave sounds philosophical. It sounds like a philosophical debate there.
Oh, it could be. Yeah, it could also be like a scuzzy tiki bar or something.
Mako's cave, for sure.
Oh, man, did you see Mako's cave burn down? One time I got a beach in the parking lot. R.I.P. Mako's cave, Staten Island, New York.
Oh, man. There is definitely a video store next to Mako's
cave. Oh, yeah,
cave.
Absolutely. With a porno section that was just slightly smaller than the regular video.
They got some of the insurance money when Mako's burned down, man. It's pretty important. It's
like half our porno's melted.
It's like a secondhand quickening.
Oh, yeah, you get that. So in excavating, they release Van Peebles and those two guys. They go around. They start killing people. You know, it's fun.
Which is fine. I think we should say, by the way, and I don't know what you two dudes did, Chris and Eric, but mm-hmm. Steve and I discussed this already, and Steve and I watched what is indeed the unrated director's cut of this movie.
Are you talking about the crazy sex scenes?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it's also, this movie's like slightly, the director's cut's like slightly more violent.
How long was yours?
99.
Yeah.
99, I got that too.
Okay. Okay. If you had the crazy sex scene,
yeah.
Then you have the director.
Yeah, right. I rented it on Amazon.
Yeah, yeah, okay, yeah. So did I.
Yeah, which we'll get to the sex scenes, which are just
ridiculous.
They're great.
So Van Peebles is like, okay, you go find the Highlander because we know he's around.
And like, but they're in Japan. He's in Japan. Like, I don't. This was something I couldn't put together. How the fuck does he figure out where everybody is?
He's just got magic, I guess, because of Mako. Like, he's an even better Highlander. And I don't know how this guy teleports from Japan to New York, which seems to happen.
Well, at one point, yeah, he's tipped off from a fax.
Yeah,
which, and I was, sure. I was just like, well, yeah, of course. Like, he's, you know, he's almost like the world's greatest detective here. He's reading things. He's finding right. shit out. And my wife's next to me being like, how the fuck can he read English?
Yeah, that's like, a great wow. question.
Yeah, that's a great.
And it blew my mind. Because I lived my whole life never questioning that.
Questioning Highlander 3.
This is yeah. this yeah. is why you got married.
Yeah. We should mention before they leave to get everybody, Kane just murders one of his pals immediately.
Which is why you should never be in a Highlander gang when the whole point of it is you got to be the last one.
It's like robbing a bank with the Joker.
But no, why is the point that it has to be the last one, though? Like, right? Like, you yeah. don't want to. This guy doesn't want the prize.
But everyone knows the phrase, there could only be one. That's the one. That's the first thing they give you, a sword. They give you an informational packet. They say, by the way, there could only be one.
I mean, there's three rules for being a Highlander. You fucking live forever until you kill everybody else. You have a sword, and you have to say there could be only one.
I think it's very simple.
No sweatpants.
Put on a fucking jacket, you lazy slob.
Why is a hoodie so much worse than a jacket? Explain it to me. Right now, please.
I think you could maybe get away with a hoodie, but you got to step it up from sweatpants.
Yeah, you do.
How about, okay, Penn State down the line.
Penn State? Oh,
what, do you like kid touches?
But yeah, like, oh, so, I mean, yeah.
Like, but when he cuts off his head, I think it's just as simple as, I just woke up under a pile of fucking rubble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I need a little fucking caffeine when I wake up.
Oh, yeah, you're right. He needs a little juice.
Man.
Yeah.
I need a little go. That's here we go.
Well, so is that, were they asleep? Was it like an amniotic state?
No, I think they were literally just sitting around for hundreds of years.
I think they were frozen like Captain America.
Oh, I see.
How? Rocks just fell on him.
And then winter came.
In the middle of that balmy Japanese cave.
What's great about this kill, too, is Van Peebles comes out in full effect in this movie because he's licking this sword. He's like,
He's got this weird, like, raspy voice. Hello, Highlander. I think that's because he's got so much scenery jammed down there.
Yeah.
It's a little tough to talk. I mean, he's hilarious. And
sometimes
he's a lot of fun.
There's an English accent going on, yeah. And sometimes there's not. Try to spot where. It's pretty fun.
But what's great about that is, oh, well, he's been alive a long time. Maybe he lived in England for a few hundred years. You don't know.
It's really like a Where's Waldo book. Mm-hmm. Anytime, it could change every fucking minute.
Where's Waldo? But instead of that cane, he's got like a sword. Did now Waldo? Am I wrong? Did he have a cane all the time?
Yeah, he had a walking stick.
What was with that?
Did that was like for taking lives.
A hernia?
No, he was a Highlander in hiding. That was the whole point.
Oh,
everywhere he would go,
he was Minnesota's Highlander.
In the first movie, I think there was a dude with like a cane knife or umbrella knife or something.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
So it's just that maybe. Maybe Where's Waldo is a Highlander, and that's why he's in like ancient Egypt and fucking shit.
Yeah, you're totally right. That's why, and he's in the Middle Ages at some point.
Yeah,
guaranteed he was an immortal dude, absolutely.
And that's why he wears such conspicuous clothing. He's like, what, is this guy hiding or is he not? He's not. He's like, come on, Highlanders, come at me. There could be only one.
Those striped sweatshirts in Marrakesh might stick out.
Yeah.
And the red stripes, it's sort of like how the Red Baron used to paint his plane to say, come at me, bro. Mm-hmm. You know?
He wrote, come at me, bro, in red.
It's a show of force. Yeah, the flying circus.
Actually, now that I'm thinking about the logistics of Highlander 3 a little more, and as my head starts to hurt a little more.
Sure.
You know what else is crazy? I think there is something to Eric's theory about them being frozen, because why the hell don't the three of them come out of this cave with like Bill and Ted beards?
Yeah.
They come out looking exactly as they did when the cave collapsed.
Or totally crazy. Because if you're kept in isolation for 300 years, 400 years, A, you're killing the other two guys.
Yeah. Those dudes, you should have seen. Actually, here's what it is. It's one dude, they ate most of him, but he didn't get decapitated, so he's still totally alive.
By the way, if I'm stuck in so let's say we're all Highlanders, right? And then
following you so far.
Fuck yes. Mm-hmm.
I cut off Chris's head, obviously.
Yeah. Well, the sweatpants are the first to go.
It causes a cave-in, and I'm like, oh, shit, now we're stuck in here forever.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to see if, you know, another quickening is going to undo that cave-in, right? You know, so I'm going to cut off Eric's.
But maybe you're trapped under rubble because you're weak.
Let me ask you one thing, though. Are you going to roll a lint roller over your tuxedo when you do it?
Well, I might. I'm going to make sure I'm wearing a well-pressed shirt.
Wow, now I want to see James Bond as a head chopper.
You did. He was in the first one.
Right. But I want to see him in a tuxedo.
Yeah.
Ramirez.
So Lambert is like, I have to get back into Highlander shape. Let me go back to New York City. And he goes back.
John.
Yeah, bye, John.
Bye, John.
You're adopted. I don't love you.
I'm giving you a hug goodbye while I definitely have this sweatshirt tucked into my jeans. Enjoy the figs.
Oh, dude. It's later in the movie, but there's that one shot where we're like back there for a hot second, and this dude has a huge bowl of figs. Way too many figs for three people.
It's a healthy snack.
Yeah, you know, we're just going to town. You know what? Let him go to town on figs. Why not?
Bad dates. That's what I thought they were dates. I didn't know that they were figs.
They could have been one or the other.
Yeah, I don't.
Either way, there's too many of them for a snack bowl.
Here's something about Lambert in New York. So he's living in Marrakesh on this compound, by the way. Like, there's
big deal compound.
And he's also keeping up this enormous New York apartment. Like, I know he made a lot. Russell Nash made a lot of money dealing with antiques. But my God, he's keeping up the rent. He's keeping up the cable bill. He turns the TV on.
Well, listen, there are so many, you know, we don't know this because this is like the secret life of New York City. Is there are so many vacant apartments that are just owned by like rich millionaire assholes.
It happens all the time.
So that's just another. This is just another one.
Oh, it's also, that's what drives up the prices. You think
the Highlanders are renting everything?
Back in 1994, what did this apartment $1,300 a month?
Well, because I think he's supposed to be living in like a Soho loft in like 1994. Fucking forget it, downtown below 14th
that's
Street.
That's true.
But so like he definitely is still like keeping this place though because he's got like. Like sheets over all the furniture and whatnot, but Steve's right. He just turns on the TV like instantly, and I'm just like, "You're not getting any of these services shut off.
You've been keeping up the cable bill too.
Oh, maybe I've got the hot box. Oh shit, I got it from my neighbor. It's just a splitter. I gave him $50.
Oh my God, I was almost crushed under the mountain of mail.
Oh man, if a bunch of junk mail took his head off."
Paper cuts.
He does immediately get sent to a mental institution because, of course, he gets like shot down by a bunch of gang members, and then
because it's New York City in the 90s, he's instantly mugged
and killed practically. But he's a Highlander; he gets to go back. And
which was interesting, though. I didn't even realize. I forgot. It's been so long since I've seen this movie that like you shoot a Highlander like five times, and he's just bleeding out on the pavement for a while.
Yeah, he's not Wolverine. It's not gonna pop right out.
Right,
but he is similar to Wolverine.
Yeah, he heals back up and whatnot.
And isn't Wolverine a Highlander?
He might be.
He's kind of a Highlander.
Isn't that like the new movie Logan? Isn't that like his little kid is like the little Highlander now?
He's a little Highlander. That's right. It's a little girl. Yeah.
Wow.
A great movie.
Well,
they both
scream at the sky a lot. So I assume there's got to be some similarities.
He'd be a great Highlander. Those claws, perfect for Highlanding.
Perfect for decapitating.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I love him fucking flipping out in this hospital, and these doctors are like trying to sedate him in one, and he's losing his ever loving mind on these people.
I love this doctor that's like, "Don't waste my fucking time."
Oh yeah, there's no because like no he's healed, but there's still like pools of blood all on him, and the doctor like wipes him down. And he's like, "I don't waste my time with this. There's no gunshots here." It's like, dude, you're a doctor in an emergency room, and this person is still covered in blood. Why don't you fucking solve the mystery?
And he tries to get up, and he's just instantly like, this guy's a lunatic. Sedate him. He must be on PCP or something.
Why does like average old medicine work on an immortal though? You feel like that's something
that should. They don't have special powers though. That's the thing. Is like they can't like lift cars or anything like that.
So he can get like a hangover just like anybody else. And he's got to take Advil.
I have that a lot actually. I'm just constantly drinking, trying to poison myself.
But
I
also
need to binge drinking.
How much whiskey do I have to consume before my head falls off?
I don't think they have special powers. You have to behead someone else to get that special power. But you can like, you know, get really good at swordsmanship.
Sure.
You know? Oh, sure. Well, you got a lot of time.
Different kinds of weaponry.
Yeah. Antiquing. Well, the antiquing goes along with the swordsmanship.
Yeah, sure.
The arts in general. I feel.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why he's sleeping in that fucking opera house in the second movie.
But we steal where the first of two times we steal a location from Terminator 2 because now we're just in a mental ward and we've got all the exact same gates.
It becomes fucking 12 Monkeys so fast.
It really does.
Dude, that's the thing with Highlander 3. You turn your back for 2 seconds, it turns into another movie pretty quickly.
Oh, man, I wish.
This Napoleon guy.
Oh, please, this dude don't. Sucks.
Oh, man, I wanted there to be like a twist at the end where this dude comes back as an immortal.
He was
an
asshole.
Oh, and it was Napoleon the whole time?
Yep. Sure was.
I love how he takes advantage of this dude, though, because the guy's like, I'm Napoleon or whatever. He's like, I'm going to play to this man's insanity so he can help me escape from here.
Oh, I'm your favorite soldier.
Yeah, and this dude's just like into it and whatnot. And he helps Lambert. Yeah, like one last mission. And he helps like create a distraction so Lambert can crawl under all these beds and sneak out of the mental institution.
To kill Wellington.
Wellington.
Oh, Wellington. Yes. That's right.
Notorious.
He gets a quickening under his belt, which he needed, like Chris said. I mean, it's been a little while. He needed a little jolt.
This was in the fucking laundry room of the insane asylum.
Yeah, there's an extended fight in the laundry room in this movie. Absolutely.
It's not extended. It's kind of great. It's like, you already lost. And he just cuts his head off. Yeah. Pretty cool.
It's kind of, though, like an assassin who has said to himself, like, I'm done with the killing.
Yeah, sure.
Or like a drug addict who's like pushing off again and he doesn't want. He's like, oh, fuck it. I'll take your head off. No.
Is this the...
I'm back, baby.
Is this the fight scene with the fat man's tragedy of the Mountain Dew cans exploding?
Yes, this is okay. This is where the quickening happens and this like 12-pack of Mountain Dew sadly explodes.
Oh, man. Some of these X Games were ruined. It's like, all right, I gotta set these here.
That'd be great, actually, if he absorbed the soda.
He probably, oh, man. Shit. So like, much sugar. Oh, I gotta sit down.
Oh, my skin is like a yellow-green now.
I'm pissing purple now.
I am slightly more sticky.
Cold red.
So he sees, he goes back home, he pops on the TV, and Deborah Kerr Unger is on TV. He's like, oh, I know her from the old days. And I actually thought, which I think this movie might be better, if she was a Highlander, too. If she was a Lady Immortal.
Get
me a Lady Immortal, yeah. Man.
What a stupid thing that it's like, oh, you just look exactly like this other person from hundreds of years ago.
Reincarnation. Yeah dude, possible. Man. You know, we're in that cave getting a bunch of Eastern philosophy.
Oh, yeah. Now, you never know.
I want to say, all three of us, separately watched this movie last night. And
four of us? There's
well,
four
think,
people.
You probably watched it today, right?
Yeah.
So we were texting. The three
we cut his head off.
Me, Eric, and Andrew. And Andrew was like, oh, man, this sex scene is crazy. And I get to the first sex scene where it's just, it's back in the French Revolution days where he has sex with Deborah Kerr Unger, like after a horseback riding. It's really tame. It's like really quick. I was like, look at this prude. You know what I mean? I was like,
not for, well, yeah.
It wasn't that.
I mean, it was, it's a bit much.
Listen, both sex scenes have nipple sucking in them.
Yes. Okay. There's a lot of. We're not talking tasteful. We're talking Christopher Lambert himself, his lips, you get to see go. Mm-hmm.
Trying to eat a grapefruit out of her cleavage.
That's a healthy breakfast.
It's disgusting. I mean, like, and it has nothing to do with any. I mean, this is the unrated cut. The PG-13 cut did not have this, obviously.
Well, listen, there are movies where there are sex scenes. I've got no problem with a fucking dirty ass sex scene, man. Give it to me, whatever. But not in a movie with a bunch of sword wielding weirdos that have to cut each other's heads off.
Disagree. It actually makes it way better. Like, that's where those sex scenes belong.
But you don't think that this movie could survive under its own awesomeness? It needs nipple sucking?
It doesn't hurt.
Question, resident Highlander expert Eric Siska, is this the first nudity in the Highlander franchise?
Oh, boy.
No, doesn't that first movie have some egregious sex, too? And the second one.
Yes. Oh, it's a grand tradition.
It's a franchise tradition of dirty fucking in my movies.
I haven't seen the other movies in a while. Chris, I believe you just rewatched all three.
I did. I know believe more than Virginia three, Madsen's showing something.
Okay, but maybe. There are gross sex scenes in the first two?
Not that I remember in the first one.
Okay.
That second movie, no, he definitely has a bunch of dirty sex.
Okay. With Virginia Madsen.
Because like they're in an alley. Right. Remember?
Oh, right.
And he's like, oh, hello, Virginia Madsen. And she's like, hey, how's it going? and they immediately start fucking in that alleyway.
Maybe it's not like we're Highlanders that fight forever. Maybe the whole point of the series all together was we fuck forever.
Boning.
Oh, shit.
Boning through fucking the eight. That would make it. Time, right? That would make more sense, honestly, if this was just a porno franchise.
Highlander colon fucking through time.
I mean, it turns into Red Shoe Diaries really quick in this movie.
Like, I was expecting David Duchovny to pop out.
I was going to say, there is a clear, like in Virginia Madsen's case, I don't think he was like sucking on her nipple trying to find the cure. It was... It was kind of just like all over the place. Like,
yeah, dude. He was getting busy.
And he was an immortal. She was a scientist.
By the way, she gets way too much TV coverage. Like, yeah, she's on TV all the time for this fucking Mako's game.
What is this? I wrote that down. Like, she's on, like, CNN top tier headline news, and it's like, oh, so you're digging in this cave, huh? What could you tell us about it? Well, I found this piece of a sword. Oh, that's fascinating. I'm so glad we're telling the entire nation at 8
Freaking
o'clock.
News. You know who also sees this news report? Our good friend Mario Van Peebles. And you know where he is? He's at a snake bar in New York City.
Yeah.
Literally bar. Called Snake Bar. And there's a song in the credits called Snake Bar as well.
Well, it's because Snake Bar colon, or Snake Bar parentheses, the theme to Snake Bar.
And then they show him in this bar, and behind him are like three Australian guys, and there's a snake in a jar, and they're like stabbing at him. Like, what is going on at this bar?
I thought it was a snake fight.
Yeah.
I thought you were putting money on a downright dirty-ass snake fight.
That's cool. Maybe that's what it is.
That'd be awesome.
I mean, like cockfighting, but with snakes.
So wait, we lost that in their director's cut?
No more snake bars. We're going to close down Times Square. We're getting the snakes out of New York City.
You go suck on those nipples somewhere else, Highlander. Get out of my town with your nipple-sucking snake fights.
The snakes did 9/11.
Oh, they certainly did.
You know, Dickens showed up. All these snakes, all these immortals, get them out of my town.
It's true. I did see a bunch of snakes in Jersey City celebrating. They were coiling all over the streets, and they were celebrating 9/11.
On 9/11, you saw so many rattlers shaking in the streets in Jersey.
And just say, why won't Crooked Hillary say Rattler Islam? There's Rattler Islam.
And then it wasn't just the snakes. I saw frogs doing it. I saw turtles doing it.
There
are amphibian splinter cells. We need to stop reptiles.
Ninja Turtles did 9/11.
Which is kind of the catchphrase of this show. We say that like every 10 episodes.
Was it the Ninja Turtles?
Yeah, I feel so.
I mean, listen, dude, follow the money.
That rat with his strange Eastern religion
yeah.
came into our city living underground training these turtles to take down legitimate businessmen like Shredder. I love that guy.
It turned out, Rat King, good guy all along.
I mean, the Foot Clan got new wallets on the streets. They were selling good quality products.
VCRs need to be in the hands of good people.
Stand-up guy. Well, good-looking guy.
So
strong.
Yeah, we follow. It becomes Mary Van Peebles' movie for a little bit. And there's not enough Mary Van Peebles in this movie.
Not
actually.
By a country mile.
And he winds up going to a sex shop. And I've never seen a model of a woman in the window of a sex shop in New York City. I'll be quite honest with you.
Well, this is it's a blow up doll.
Yeah. And it's some guy's
model
like, hey,
of
man.
A woman.
He's like, hey man, some like creeps, like, because this is pre Giuliani or just at the beginning of Giuliani before this guy was drowned in the street. He's like, hey man, you want to go upstairs? I'll show you something a little better than just whatever's in there.
The real thing.
The real thing.
So he takes Kane to a prostitute, and they start going
in a much needed scene. A scene that's incredibly necessary.
Oh, yeah,
the movie
definitely.
Would be a total failure without
definitely.
It.
But we do get a Coneheads gag in this. He tries to eat a condom, and I'm like,
right?
What are you talking about,
dude?
Man?
Oh my God, thank you. The whole time I was like, where else in the movies does someone eat a condom? Oh right, it's fucking Dan Aykroyd in Coneheads.
Doesn't blow a bubble this time.
No, he
does not. No, he does
Thank
not
God
blow
for
a
that
bubble.
One.
He just but, eats the condom and then rapes this woman.
Well, Dan Aykroyd's accent's eerily like the Highlander.
Oh, it is similar. A little bit, yeah. Oh man, you fucking you quicken a cone head, dude. Oh, you better be wearing diapers. I'll tell you that much. He turns into a vulture, goes back to Japan, I think, right? Am I getting
this? It is hard to keep track of his travel in this movie because it doesn't make any
sense. Well, because the site is in New York where she's excavating.
No, it's in Japan.
That's in Japan.
That's in Japan.
That's really crazy. That makes no sense.
It turns out it makes no sense, yeah.
And he intimidates her. He is stopped by a fax that she gets, which is really nice.
Which is amazing because like the computer says, incoming fax. And it's
the whole fucking place shuts down because a fax is showing up.
You know, we were saying how like there's not enough Mario Van Peebles in this movie. You know how you could have more Mario Van Peebles? Cut out these two fucking detectives in this movie.
Please don't.
These guys, straight out of a fucking bad Giallo movie, they're like dubbed Six Ways from Sunday. And the one guy is like supposedly friends with the lady from the first movie. Like, that's how we're making this connection. And he's all over Lambert's ass trying to nail him for these
Russell
murders.
Russell fucking Nash.
Yep.
It's Russell Nash is back.
He's like, oh, somebody got decapitated in New York. He's like, don't bother doing forensics. You're not going to find any fingerprints. It's Russell Nash.
And please take me by the hand and take me to the place where I'm supposed to give a shit about this. What exactly is this have to do
I'm
with
reaching
the fuck
out with my hand? Let's go, Chris.
Where is it? Who cares about this shit? Nobody does.
It did not need a detective.
I didn't even need Deborah Karanger.
No, but who are you going to fuck? Who are you going to fuck?
Yes.
Who are you
going to
fuck?
Thank you.
There's plenty. I mean, okay, the rape or eating is not technically a sex scene, I guess.
No, it's not. I need some sexiness.
We do not need a sex scene.
It needs to be sensual.
Of course.
It needs to be.
Because it's not
really
the bridges
crazy.
Of Madison County. That's not what we're
Wait,
here for.
Are they sucking nips in there?
I mean, I don't even want to know what's going on.
No, I don't believe
it. I believe it's behind closed doors.
I'm going to paint this fence. And then I'm going to paint you. I bet you got real riled by that. We're watching this movie, The Pillow Book. I'm going to paint you like Ewan McGregor does to that Japanese woman. That movie made my blood boil in my penis.
I'm going to take this starched shirt off.
Oh.
And then you're going to look at this dingy wife beater and you're going to know what's happening.
My penis is so hard, it's like it's been starched like my shirt.
I mean, like, he intimidates her, then he goes back to New York, and then Deborah Kara Unger. I mean, like, the flight to Japan, like, we're just flip-flapping all over the globe. Well, dude, it's a globe-trotting film.
And how many shots of an airplane, or even, like, if
zero.
He is teleporting, show me him teleporting.
That's the thing. There's zero teleportation in this movie. We're all just taking trans-Pacific flights.
Oh, there is one where Mario Van Peebles teleports, and the graphics are the worst thing I've ever seen in my life.
And I have a feeling they spent a lot of money on this movie, and the CGI is just terrible. Like, even for 1994 standards, it's terrible.
They lost money. I think it was, like, a $36 million budget. They made, like, 19.
Oof, that's a kick in the teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Also, with these detectives, by the way, how about we shell out for a set that's a police station? Sure. Every time you see these dudes, they're either on the street or in the bar drinking heavily.
Or how about Law & Order Highlanders now getting in on this?
There we go.
Oh, that's how you do it.
Yeah.
Oh, what's that case about somebody getting their head cut off? I'll handle it personally.
Yeah. No, Ice-T, this one's just for me.
I've been following this guy since 1000 AD.
Hey, Cragen, why do you got that sword?
See you later, Cragen.
I'm going to a class after this. A fencing class on 38th Street.
You know they use sticks. It's not really whatever.
Yeah, it's advanced.
Okay.
I'm pretty good.
All right.
So we're flashing back to the 1700s. We got some horse. We're like horse racing for a little bit. Yeah. I think this is the lead up to the 1700s fucking.
There's fucking, and then he's like, I have to go now. The French Revolution needs me.
Oh, come
this
on.
Whole thing.
Whatever.
Oh, man. He's going to be an influential.
They need you in Paris. Why? I don't know.
The Revolution.
Well, the other guy that he's with might as well say, it's the French Revolution, Connor.
Yep, exactly right. And so this dude also wants to die because they're both captured immediately in the French Revolution, sentenced to death by guillotine, by the way.
Which this is brilliant.
It's brilliant. It's the most dangerous time to be an immortal, man.
Yes. Yikes.
Where the guillotine was in fashion, you better forget it.
And nobody even gets your powers. Yeah, a bunch of mortals standing around.
Maybe the quickening. The guillotine gets the powers, dude. Holy shit. And it becomes sentient.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Like the furnace in the McAllister's house.
Well, I kind of like the idea.
Oh, the guillotine's barking at you.
I kind of like the idea of Connor McLeod going back to the French Revolution, like, all right, time to fight for what is right. I mean, what's the worst that can happen? Oh, what the hell is that day? Wait, what is that? Oh, no. See you later, Paris. I gotta get the fuck out of here. Oh, my God. That's the one thing they don't do.
Does Germany have these things? Yeah.
How about England?
I've been electrocuted. I've been hung. I've been drowned as a witch, burned as a witch.
All hurt like a bitch, but honestly.
It's fine. Oh, my God. What the hell is that?
I think that's how the Stephen King movie Christine happened, man. So, like, an immortal was driving a car, and he got in a wreck and got decapitated.
Oh, wow.
And it was like, well, the car did it, and then the car got the quickening.
And that immortal underrated movie was Jane Mansfield.
But yeah, his buddy is like, no, man, I want to die for whatever reason. So he gets his head cut off.
Well, it's such a casual delivery. He's like, you know what, McLeod? I'm tired of my immortal existence. Let me take the guillotine for you.
Oh, wait, was he immortal?
Yeah.
He was. He was a Highlander.
He says he's tired of his immortal existence. This dude's fucking checking out.
I thought he was just like, you know, like a French existentialist.
I'm tired of this mortal coil.
Yeah. Like, I'm tired of being an immortal. There's never going to be any kind of a place you could watch a play in your own house. I'm just going to check out now. I'm so tired of riding horses all the time.
You know, I might be immortal, but it doesn't mean I like taking 6 months to get somewhere. There'll never be a device that could make me cross a continent in a day.
And you know, they say horse riding is so elegant, so wonderful. You should see the bruises on my taint.
I'm tired of writing letters for weeks to find out what my friends are doing. Cut my head off.
Fuck it.
Then this thing doesn't make any sense because he's like, no, no, no. I'm the one who has been sentenced to death. And then, like, you see somebody gets hit over the head because it's all shadow play.
It's so good. God, this movie's it's mastercraft.
And then it's just like a dummy with long hair, so you can't see the face.
And I think What's-Her-Face, a younger or 1700s Deborah Kerr Unger, watches it. And she's like, oh, Connor McLeod's dead.
Yes.
So she goes off and gets married. And then when Connor McLeod leaves, he finds her. He's like, oh, you know what? She's all right. It's all right.
Yeah.
She's just going to get old anyway. Well,
it's kind of like Spawn coming back and like seeing his wife and the daughter with D.B. Sweeney.
Yeah, you're totally right.
It's exactly like that.
It's the same.
And
Wanda!
And at this point, like, Mario Van Peebles just kind of exits the movie, and it becomes the Deborah Kerr Unger and Christopher Lambert show.
Sure.
She shows up. Oh, actually, no, there's a big fight in Hallowed Ground, which Mario Van Peebles is like, this is the trapeze fight, which is so stupid.
Oh, the swing swords.
Yes, yes. That is so great.
Is his apartment Hallowed Ground?
No, he's at some training facility with somebody named Charlie, where he's like, oh, hey, Charlie, good to see you. And like,
oh, he's fencing in his house.
Yeah, or something.
Like, oh, I thought that this was also his apartment.
That's what I thought, too, because it was like a cavernous, humongous place.
Oh, the place where he's doing the fencing is his apartment.
Oh, is it?
Well, where is the part where there's the Deus Ex trampoline? Because that's like Van Peebles. I think this is his apartment.
Okay,
because,
sure,
like,
I might be wrong.
Van Peebles storms in. She's there.
Yeah.
Right. And then like Van Peebles storms in. They start like chasing each other. And Lambert jumps on this trampoline to get up on this scaffolding. Like he's Mario. Like,
and they do. They have a trampoline fight, which is so silly and great.
They're swinging around like the Flying Graysons on this thing.
And they're just sword fighting each other on a trapeze. It's kind of.
Yeah. Ang Lee stole it.
He did.
But this is where he turns into a bird again, and he flies out the window, and all of these windows explode.
Yeah, which is pretty cool.
It's badass.
Well, there's something, I don't even know what happens. Like,
He gets freaked out because like some magic happens and
his sword is destroyed and that causes the thing to explode.
The sword was made by Mako, I guess, and you're using Mako's shit against a Mako sword and it's no Mako, so it explodes,
like,
I guess.
Oh, patience is a virtue or whatever. This movie has to kind of keep going on.
I was like, no, just kill him. His sword broke, kill him.
It can't be 80 minutes. The audience expects more.
Run out the window.
And then, like, McLeod's like, well, I have to go back to Scotland. I got to get a new sword, man.
Yeah, so he goes to make a sword in Scotland, and now we get probably the best montage in movie history, I would say.
Really?
Disagree.
I would say, yeah. This
Eisenstein, push him out.
The Soviets, all that shit was leading up to this moment, dude.
Of course.
This is it. Uh-huh. This is the best moment in cinema history.
We'll take it away.
Well, he's making a sword.
Yeah.
Oh, it's on YouTube.
Okay.
So I watched it. In the movie, and then I watched it again.
And do you watch it every morning before you go home?
It's him, like, practicing with his sword in Marrakesh. Ooh, boom, what? He's in Scotland doing it too, buddy.
Yep.
And then it's like, oh, wait, dude, man, he's fucking forging it now. So when the hell did that happen? I don't know. So then he's forging this shit, and she's looking on like, oh, my God, what a man. And then he's like fucking jogging in the Scottish Highlands.
It's why does an immortal man need to jog?
You know, I'm gonna, look, I could put on weight just like everybody else. I don't want to be a fat Highlander.
There's got to be fat Highlanders, right? There was one of the guys in the first movie that he kills at the wrestling
with
match.
A little tubby. Yeah.
A little chubby.
And like any white woman in the 1990s going to Scotland, she bought herself an entire L.L. Bean wardrobe.
She really
before
did.
Before she got there.
The most cabled of all sweaters.
It looks great. And then like there's some more jogging and then there's like water.
Well, their relationship kind of doesn't make sense. Beautiful. Because she like he goes to Scotland to like find himself. He tries to make a sword. It doesn't work out. And she's like, oh, I found this thing in Mako's cave. It's another like billet of metal or something like
right.
that.
Oh yeah,
and she brings it to him, and like, but why?
What yeah, are you doing here?
Oh yeah, what are you doing in Scotland? Did you fly from New York to Scotland just to like hang out?
Or was it? Did you fly from New York to Japan then to Scotland?
Oh, man, she's really desperate.
Yeah, exactly.
Yikes!
I think this chick is crazy. But they're the best in bed, so here we go.
Well, that's after Eric's great montage, we get the most insane sex scene
dude, you
in
make
cinema
a sword,
history.
You fucking make a meat one next.
It's crazy.
It right?
Yeah, I got it.
You stopped
him.
Down.
You stopped him dead in his tracks.
Dude, man, he puts it to work.
He does.
A quickening, man. It's like... It's like that's what an orgasm is.
This
now.
Movie, this sex scene has nipple sucking.
Yep.
This sex scene has crotch cupping. It's got bare ass on both sides of the aisle.
And she's like crawling over him like a sex spider for a lot of it.
Yeah.
I've never seen anything like it.
Weave that web.
I've never seen anything like it.
So David Cronenberg saw this.
Yes.
Like, crash. Got it.
I mean, it's.
She's in
it's
crash,
amazing.
Right?
Yeah, she's crushed. Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it is.
The fucking.
It goes on for like 6 minutes. It's longer than any other scene in the entire movie.
You know what?
Movie.
They took a lot of notes from Basic Instinct.
Uh-huh.
I let it go on this.
Oh, you let it go?
Or wait, what? I don't know if Basic Instinct was before this. I feel like it was 93, but I might be wrong.
I thought so.
Steve, but, can you?
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you.
So around the time of this incredible fucking... there's also, we cut back to his loft and Kane is back.
Yeah.
And this is hilarious because McLeod has a Fabergé egg on his desk, which is awesome. And that, like, Van Peebles, like, just breaks and he's laughing about it. But the best thing,
here we go.
The absolute best thing in this movie is on Connor McLeod's desk, there is a photo of John, my adopted son John. You remember him.
Yeah.
It's this actor's like headshot and it's fucking autographed.
It's fucking autographed from his own son.
It's like, really, dude, Dad, I love you. Love John.
John from Marrakesh.
Best regards,
your adopted son, John.
It's the most impersonal thing you could ever give your dad as a fucking autographed headshot.
Happy birthday.
Thank you, John.
this will look good in my New York apartment I don't go to.
And that I've never told you about.
Yes, ship this to New York so I don't have to look at it.
The one thing, so back to John for a second. Yeah. In that last scene, he's like, oh, Dad, I'm going to miss you. He's like, can I call you? He's like, yeah, call me, sure. I'll call you too, John. And like... The movie's been going on for an hour, and like we've taken 6 trips to Japan, 3 trips to Scotland, a jaunt to England, and we've been to fucking Antarctica for a little while. And John is leaving a message on McLeod's answering machine like, hey, Dad, you never called me? Like, you're not that, and he's not that busy in this movie, let me be honest. It's a lot of just Highlander sitting around.
He turns on the TV at one point. Use that time to call John from Marrakesh.
By the way, Chris, 92 for Basic Instinct.
Yeah, so yeah, definitely.
Yeah, they ripped it right off.
Yeah, and at this point, Van Peebles is like, oh, I'll steal his son for literally no reason.
Oh, sure.
So he starts,
just to mess with him.
Dude, man, he starts catfishing this kid.
He does. Oh, right.
Because he apparently has been called. Now he's calling John.
At least somebody
is. Yeah, John's going to go to wherever the loving is.
Because he can now, with his illusion powers, he can morph into Christopher Lambert, much like everyone in this room can.
Yes.
And just do, hey, John.
Hey, John.
Come to New York. Well, he also dupes the buddy, though, because he calls the buddy, whoever this guy
is. This is really just his manservant.
Yeah, and he's like, hey, put my son John on a plane to New York. There's lots of adopted kids here, too.
Well, the funny thing is, so, like, Deborah Kerr Unger and Lambert are, like, having a post-sex, like, pub drink in a bar.
That's what bothers me, because this is now a pleasure trip. This was originally a business trip, and we have to train how to be a Highlander again. No. Now we're just having a nice little snifter of brandy in this lounge.
You know, I think John's birthday was like 6 weeks ago. I really should call him.
So he goes to call him, and the guy's like, what are you calling here for? What are you doing in Scotland? You should be on your way to New York, because you had John fly into Newark, by the way.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't want to pay for LaGuardia. Go to Newark. Send
you
John
know how
to
much
Newark.
A cab from Soho to LaGuardia is?
John, from Newark, you'll be taking the totally annoying AirTrain. I'll see you 3 hours after you land.
Okay, John. Now you have to know what to do when you get to the PATH station.
It's really confusing, you guys.
I don't know. Ask someone.
But then, this sets up even more insane globetrotting, because he's just like, oh, John is flying from Marrakesh to Newark. Guess I'm just going to get on a plane from Scotland immediately.
Sure.
Like, come on.
Dropping
with all this
dimes
travel.
Left and right. And then, he leaves Deborah Kerr Unger in Scotland. He's like, I'll see you later. Just enjoy Scotland. There's like museums. Go see a fucking castle. What do I know?
I'll be back. I've got Highlander business to do.
Go see the grave sites of several of my relatives, including my dead wife.
All my former lovers.
Buried here under my house.
They all die.
We get the silliest scene of Mario Van Peebles, which I don't even know if this was in the script or he demanded to do it. It's he kidnaps John looking like Christopher Lambert.
Yeah, by shapeshifting, new to
by
me.
The way, this is the worst fucking and egregious callback to the first movie. Like, oh, we got to make it like the first movie.
Oh, that's right, because it's the car scene.
Yeah, it's the car scene, because in the first movie...
Clancy Brown
as like Krugen or something. Anyway,
I'm telling you, I think it's Cragen.
Cragen.
I honestly think it's Cragen.
Hey, we're going to bed. Take you for a ride. So he terrorizes an old couple by driving them around in their car.
Yes. Oh, right.
This is like that scene times 11 with the little kid, and it fucking
going
sucks.
To radical extents to
it's
try to kill
like
a child.
He is like ripping off the steering wheel, and he's like, here, now you take the wheel.
They're on a runway and a plane's landing. Oh, wait, no, that was an illusion, you fucking idiot, dumb kid.
I thought he killed everybody on that. I thought that was an actual plane and he made it disappear.
I thought that too.
Fuck, dude.
Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah, or
tonight on Unsolved Mysteries.
The
Newark Triangle.
Kane.
I will say this scene, he reminds me of a We Hate Movies favorite. With the haircut and the vamping and the radical metal music. Anybody going to guess it? It's Trickster.
Oh, shit.
He turns into Trickster for a little bit. He's kind of like vamping a bit.
From Brain Scan.
Yes.
That's a classic
film. Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Ow, they're ripping me off. Look at this. They're ripping me off, Jeremy. Look at this. I'm rented Highlander 3.
Linda, do we still have Jeremy's number?
If you get to disc 6, I turn into Mario Van Peebles. Figure that out.
I mean, whatever. But yeah.
the calling card of like, oh, you moved up to cutting someone's head off.
He's like, oh, Van Peebles calls. Lambert gets arrested by the cops, which takes forever.
Yep, sure does.
And like, they have nothing. And he's just like, can I go now? Can I go now?
Excuse me, detective. I have a movie I need to wrap up. You have nothing on me. Also, you're technically not the characters in this movie.
The guy's like, one day you'll make a mistake, Nash, and I'm going to be there. And I'm like, no, you're not. The movie's over.
Yeah, no, I'm looking at this timer, buddy. There's 15 minutes left.
Also, if you are, he'll kill you. He's an immortal. Yes. Shut up.
Van Peebles is like, yeah, I'll meet you in where they celebrated 9/11, Jersey City, at this church. And like, here's the thing. They go to a church. They have like a little a tete-a-tete there. But then they wind up going to a petroleum plant. You can't do both. That's like, you've got your whiteboard. It's like, where do you want the climax? In an old mission church or a petroleum plant? You can't circle and do both.
Well, I was kind of reminded of Die Hard 2, Die Harder, because there's that church, which is the hideout, which is right by the airport.
Okay.
So I just sort of figured it was kind of the same deal. Because we're in this church for like 2 seconds. And anybody else start thinking of the last scene of The Omen? And I was like, are they going to try to kill that kid?
I thought
Ooh,
so too.
Kill
yeah.
that kid.
Oh, that'd be great. That'd be
then nice. Gregory Peck just gets laid in waste too. Instead.
Oh, but it's a trick, dude.
John from Marrakesh ends up being another Highlander. So
yes.
So he's a Marrakesher.
Ha ha.
Oh, yeah.
I gave him a blood transfusion.
The weird thing, though, is like, why is it that. Why does he even kidnap his son at all? Because Van Peebles knows he's gunning for him. Like, is it just to move it along?
I guess to get some motivation here.
And,
yeah.
And why does the Highlander care? Like, he was mortal anyway. Who cares if he has to grieve him now or later? The kid die.
Kept on telling the kid he was adopted the whole thing. Clearly, yeah. He does not have a lot of warm feelings for the child.
Yeah, exactly.
He hasn't called him in 8 weeks.
Oh, you kidnapped my joke son.
My joke son.
He was actually on the second of 2 vacations, by the way, because he went to New York, but then they went to Scotland, and he didn't tell this kid.
Bastard child, lifetime of boning Deborah Kara Unger. Let me just weigh this a little bit.
So we go to this petrochemical factory, which
we're stealing Terminator 2's ending yet again.
Absolutely. This is like straight out of Terminator 2. And, you know, what you want in a chemical factory like this is tons of flames everywhere. This thing looks like the set of a Mortal Kombat level.
Call John now.
Shut that dog up.
Yeah, you know, it does look like a Mortal Kombat. You should see skulls in the background.
Yep, exactly right.
Loop Cybot should be there.
Can I ask, is it possible that calling this kid John was another thing lifted from Terminator?
Entirely possible.
I think so. Oh, wow. Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised.
You're very important, little buddy. When the Terminators get here, you're going to lead the resistance.
Oh, do the Terminators kill the Highlanders? That's my question.
Dude, it's a shared universe, I think. I think Terminators, aliens, Predators, Highlanders.
That's why they made the T-1000, because the T-800s would only shoot, and they couldn't kill these Highlanders.
They need sword arms. Yeah. They need sword arms.
Big time. Man,
this is the fattest conversation we've ever had, and I love it.
So we get into this fight, and cue an instrumental version of Dr. Feelgood, by the way.
That was I turned to my fiancé, I was like, is that Dr. Feelgood?
And you're just waiting. Like, I'm sitting there waiting for the lyrics to kick in, and I'm like, anytime now, Vince Neil.
But why Dr. Field? That has nothing to do thematically with anything that's going
because just,
on.
All right, listen. Just like picture the fighting that's happening, right? How cool is that?
It is very cool.
I mean, there's a lot of like thrash fart guitar throughout
big
this whole thing.
Time.
But this is the only time like a tune sticks out. Like that's it's true, not like
it's the only time it's a known song. I mean, that record, which is also, I believe, called Dr. Feelgood, the Motley Crue album. That was a big fucking record.
Oh, sure.
Years before. But
like a decade almost.
I mean, but it's a noticeable, it's the only noticeable song
in
the
movie.
Yeah,
I'm not hearing any nothing but a good time coming out of this shit.
Or, you know, Who Wants to Live Forever by Queen. I mean, come on. Like,
man.
Yeah. License that song again.
Why is that not... That should be the end credits or something.
Because yes, this is Highlander 3, The Sorcerer, motherfuck, and we are turning up the metal.
Or Endgame. Or no...
No, Endgame's 4. The Final Dimension. Yes, which is the title I always knew it as, personally.
But what fucking dimension? At least this movie, there's a sorcerer.
I think the Final Dimension is just like... No. Number 2 didn't count. No. That was another dimension. Now this is the one that matters.
Honestly, the sorcerer doesn't make much sense either. Is that just Mako?
The sorcerer refers to Cain, who takes Mako's power. So there's two sorcerers in reality, I guess. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, the sorcerers.
He cuts his head off, by the way. I mean, it's kind of cool. He cuts his back a lot. Like,
he cuts Cain's
back. Yeah.
This is the stupidest thing.
We should say the Highlander wins, just to clarify.
Yes, the Highlander does win, in case you were wondering. He cuts him in half. Uh-huh. And like,
oh, right.
I have to wait.
I love it.
30 seconds for them to move the little things together. Why doesn't he just cut his head off when he's split in half?
Well, dude, he cuts his legs off and his legs kind of chase after him and find him again.
It's so dumb. It's kind of like the coyote realizing that he's standing on air because he ran off the cliff. Yeah. Like, it's ridiculous, but you're right. Like, in that moment, Van Peebles is like holding on to these two bars.
He's mocking him at the moment. Just cut his fucking head off.
I will say, though, Van Peebles has the only instance in the Highlander movies that I've seen where he tries to just cut his head off from behind without even starting a fight. Like, really? That would be me, man. I'd be just like, cut your head.
Oh, you got to be sniping him, man.
Yeah, exactly. Cut
master
their head off.
Stealth killer, Steve.
ABS, man. Always be sniping.
Or you get a gun, you shoot their knees out, because it's going to take them a while to get back from that.
And then you shoot their neck over and over and over and over again.
It'll take you a while. It'll get real loud, real messy.
I don't remember what he's responding to when Cain says something to him right before the killing. Yeah, and he goes, he's like, I'll be the judge of death.
Oh, he's like, I'll see you in hell.
Oh, right. Yeah. You need some line that's like, but hell is earth or something.
like something Highlanders knew that we never knew.
Yeah. Twist ending.
These mortals are already dead.
Look, we're only watching our shadow selves from Mako's cave.
Oh, shit.
Think about it.
That's a thinking man's Highlander movie. So then it's like the biggest quickening of all time. This chemical factory goes up.
Not as big as the first one, though, because there's ghosts in the first one.
Oh, right, the first movie when he kills Clancy Brown.
Yeah, there's like a lot of ghosts.
In Silver Cup Studios.
Yes.
Which is actually set in Silver Cup Studios.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a pretty good quickening. It's a very good quickening.
But you know what this quickening has that the Clancy Brown quickening does not have? Serious fucking guitar wailing going on.
Big time.
I mean, the soloing is outrageous in this movie.
It's hard to tell which movie is better because they're both so good.
And that's kind of the movie, right? I mean, like, he goes back. He brings his kid back to Deborah Kerr Unger, who's like, oh, I met this guy. He's broody. He's immortal. He's rich. We'll just go around the world fucking. We're going to...
Yep.
Oh, he's got a kid.
Oh.
Wait, since when? What?
Don't worry. He's adopted.
Well, because she's also like, oh, the one thing Highlanders can't do is have kids. Yes.
Yep.
You know what I mean? She's probably stoked about the whole deal.
Are you sure Cain's dead?
But if he wins the prize, though, I mean, he becomes mortal. Does that like energizes his boys?
His meat sword. Is this meat? I said meat sword again.
Yes, of course.
I guess it should, right? I think you can have kids.
I'm feeling.
Yeah, I don't know why you
maybe
meat
not.
Sword.
Oh my god! Yeah. You know what's great is after this huge quickening happens in the chemical factory, the kid like walks down a set of stairs. Not reacting properly at all to having just witnessed a fucking quickening, by the way. He's just like, Dad, can we go?
Yeah, I'd be like, hey, Dad, are you... What the fuck?
Yeah, like, did you see all the waves of lightning go into your dad's balls? Like, what are you... Like, let's react a little more appropriately.
Is that me? Am I the lightning?
Yeah, well, you know, don't quote me. I don't know if you can have kids or not. I think you can.
But there,
I think that's part
there
of it.
Maybe it's on the Highlander Wikia.
Yeah.
I mean, but
the
that's...
The DVD booklet, maybe.
As we already said, I mean, the sex stuff is, like, all through. I even remember the first one, when the lady is, like, they're seeing him off when they're on their first battle.
Yeah.
And she's like, just make sure you bring back his cook.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Dude, it's a great line. Fucking great impression. I felt like I was there.
So what you would naturally do when you meet a new lady and you've got your adopted kid, you take them to your dead wife's grave.
Oh, yeah. Christ.
And her tombstone is a sword that says McLeod on it,
uh-huh,
that gets struck by lightning, isn't which that... I don't know if that's a sequel setup or what.
I don't know what that is.
That's what revived Jason Voorhees.
I thought
a hand was going to come out.
I've never been able to get over the fact that her name is Heather McLeod. It just sounds wrong.
Yeah.
Heather McLeod?
Heather McLeod. Like, I feel like...
Like Heather's too much of like an 80s
yes,
name.
She sounds like an LA in the 1980s.
A valley girl.
Yeah, you're totally right, actually.
It just sounds weird every time I hear it.
It'd be like Maleficent McLeod.
Yeah, there we go. With the horns and all.
And he's just like, yeah, so that's it. That's my story. Now I'm immortal.
You probably forgot all that alien shit, which is good.
Yeah.
That never happened.
How do you... This is what it should have been, by the way. You go back to the testimonial shot, and he's talking to the camera, and then what happens is the camera moves out like just a little bit, and the two of them are sitting with him.
Oh.
And he's like, and now we've been a happy family for 10 years.
And maybe she's a little pregnant, possibly.
Oh, yeah, she's definitely knocked up. Yeah. Exactly right.
We're late for our shift at the surf shop.
Or you pull out a little bit, he's in his robe, and he's like, I guess it's pretty cool. Life comes at you pretty fast.
You're still here?
Yeah. Or it would be great if they pull out.
It's finally over.
Nobody's there, and he's like, oh, by the way, it didn't work, and it's been 100 years. They're both dead, and I'm still an immortal.
Oh, man.
See you at the sequel.
But he's like finally like lost his mind after being alive for thousands of years, and he's just got like his fucking adopted kid stuffed.
Oh,
and,
right.
Like, with straw and shit over the fucking skin and crap.
Oh, no,
and then he's got his dead wife, his new wife.
No, you're going way over.
And he's just
he
like,
would just
damn,
have the heads. Like,
just
the heads up above the thing.
What do you think, John?
I don't know, Dad. What do you think?
Just a couple of head puppets.
Oh, time for some spider sex.
I love spider sex, don't you? Oh, Mom, not in front of me. I'm just little adopted John.
Oh, no, Mario Van Peebles. I'm a bad guy.
Remember your father likes to watch.
Now we're all going to make love.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's how that goes.
I spend most of my time in chat rooms.
It is my good friend Ramirez. Yes, it is I, Ramirez.
It's just dead corpse puppet show.
Oh, I like this idea.
He's like John Cusack up on the second floor.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, mercy. Would anybody recommend this movie?
Yes, enthusiastically. Go see it immediately. It's probably the best movie we've ever cut.
Is it still out in theaters? Jesus.
Now, you know what? Something tells me not many theaters are still playing Highlander
Someone
3.
Should bring it back.
You know, I'm going to say no.
Okay.
But I have to say, I mean, the look in Eric's eyes talking about this movie. It's like the day he got married.
The day I married Eric to his beautiful wife after all the punch on the punch card.
On that purpose alone, it was worth it. But the movie sucks.
I was sort of like, oh, Highlander 3. Because I'm not even the world's biggest Highlander fan. I certainly didn't like the second one. And I was like, oh, I guess I'll get through this stupid life that I lead. And it turned me around. I found myself really engaged with how ridiculous this movie is. It's a cool 99 minutes.
That's a big plus.
There's a lot. I feel like there's more, and somebody can tell me on Twitter whether how many quickenings per movie there is, but I feel like there's more quickenings in this movie than other movies.
Well, you got the goons and all.
Yeah, so I like that. I like all the fighting. It's fun. It's a fun movie. I like it. Recommend.
I think talking through it here tonight has helped me a little bit.
Oh,
I think
shit.
It's definitely a hangover movie. I feel like every Highlander movie is like a solid hangover movie.
Sure.
I still think the first one is the best one. And even though it's, I guess, technically not canon and it's really stupid and see our episode on it, I think just for sheer batshit insanity, Highlander 2 is also like a really good time. I think this and Highlander 2 might be tied, in my opinion.
I actually prefer 2. As far as like just batshit stuff going,
really,
I really prefer second.
I prefer 3 to 2, and it's not because of the gross sex scene. It's actually in spite of.
I prefer 3 because it's more realistic.
Of course,
thank of course. You.
That's Highlander: The Final Dimension, or The Sorcerer, directed by Andrew Morahan. If you want more We Hate Movies, check out whmpodcast.com or find us over at the HeadGum Network. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. We are at whmpodcast. And, of course, right into the mailbag, weallhatemovies@gmail.com. Rate and review the show wherever you get it. We would greatly appreciate it. So next week on the program, Listener Request Month continues. Oh. Thanks a lot to Anonymous for calling in Highlander 3.
Hey, Bozo, next time leave your name and where you're calling from.
That's wow. Right. Where are we at for next week? What is that?
It is Ultraviolet.
Oh, right.
It is a nightmare.
So until next week, when you can hear Chris Cabin strained like he got a hernia from watching this movie, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Zadak.
Chris Cabin.
Eric Siska.
Take it easy.
That was a HeadGum podcast.